Welcome back to Simply Ayurveda, part two of our conversation about Ayurveda's role in understanding women's health, here with Ayurvedic practitioner Malia Michael. If you're just jumping into the conversation, then please head over to the previous episode to catch part one. Malia tells us all about how our doshic constitution influences our menstrual cycle and our bleed. She tells us about how the doshas influence different menstrual imbalances like PCOS and endometriosis. And she also talks to us about how our hormones are influenced when we aren't in tune with the ever-changing energies that we experience in our body as women. One thing Malia said that is now like ingrained in my brain whenever I feel myself getting stressed is that when our cortisol spikes, it stays elevated for up to 48 hours. And when our cortisol stays elevated and starts to run out, it will go to our progesterone and turn it into more cortisol. And so essentially what Malia was saying is that every time we're pushing our limits, pushing our body into new stress, and not listening, not acknowledging, and not bringing compassion to where we are in our infradian 28-day cycle, we're causing absolute havoc to our hormones, and not only our hormones, but to our reproductive health and to our body-mind system as a whole. So in the second part of the conversation, Malia is going to guide us through how we can bring more attention and awareness to these changing energies that we naturally experience. She's going to tell us what our inner seasons are, how these inner seasons relate to the different phases of our menstrual cycle, and how we can start to live in better alignment as women with our cycle to balance our hormones with our lifestyles. So, Malia, walk us through what these inner seasons are, how do our energies change between these phases, and how can we make the most of it as women?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And this is where it gets like, it gets so, so yummy. And I remember when I first started tapping into the inner seasons, there's this amazing book called The Wild Power from Alexandra Pope. And it literally changed my whole life. And, you know, breaking into the inner seasons of, you know, how we can initiate these natural powers that happen throughout our whole menstrual cycle just completely allows us to tune back into the wisdom of our bodies. And like you had mentioned too, like what's so especially true for women, you know, is that, like you said, that we are so in cohesiveness with like the phases of the moon. And in Ayurveda, in essence, you know, we're completely interwoven with earth and all of its elements, with nature and the cosmos. And we're truly not apart from anything, but a part of everything. So what we often forget is that our bodies, a female body, and I mean, all of our bodies are incredibly wise. And we hold these ancient memories from our ancestors and the ways of Mother Earth. And so what we need to do is to relearn how to tune back in to our body and our womb and relearn how to speak her language. And so when we go into the inner seasons, that's truly what that's doing, is it's allowing us to come back into the wisdom of ourselves and how it relates to nature. So to break it down, we have the four seasons that are happening internally as well as externally: spring, summer, fall, and winter. So these show up in our natural biology every 28 days. And so this is where it gets super cool. And this is, again, where I love to merge like that Western science with this like ancient spirituality practices. So right after our menses, so I'll go into the first season, estrogen begins to rise. This is known as our follicular phase. So with menstruation being, you know, days 1 through 5, our follicular phase is usually from like day 6 to like day 12, I would say 13, if you have a normal 28-day cycle. So this is considered our inner spring, and it is the era of rebirth. So I like to imagine, you know, with inner winter, which I'll touch on here in just a second, you know, we're in this like dark cave, this dark womb. And so when spring comes, it's us stepping out of that cave, stepping out of that dark womb, out of that rest. And so during this phase, you know, like when we're thinking about, okay, we've had this like deep, dark rest, we're not going to just like spring forward, right? And like put all of our energy out at once. we're going to like slowly start to stretch and, you know, slowly start to gain that energy. And literally that's what estrogen is doing in the body, is it's slowly starting to pick up our energy levels. And so this is what I like to say, this beautiful blossoming that's happening. It's like shedding the skin of like a snake, and you're shedding the skin into this like new version of yourself. And so this is the time when we can start to manifest, to reflect, to start to gather ways in which we want to show up in the world. So this is kind of like all happening within this rebirth. So you're kind of like coming out of like the womb as like a new baby.
I love that.
You're like, okay, like, and this is a really great time to like, you start to see things in a new light, in a new lens, and like looking around and being like, oh, this is the first time I've like noticed this beautiful flower that's in my garden bed, you know, that's been here for, you know, however many months. So it's like really kind of seeing things in a new lens. And so what I like to say too is that every menstrual cycle, we are quite literally like stepping into the newest version of ourselves. So that's what like this spring energy brings.
That's a beautiful way to look at it. I love that.
So after our follicular phase, we're moving into our ovulation phase, which is anywhere from like day 13 or 14. Ovulation actually only happens about 3 to 5 days of the cycle, but I like to step into this ovulation phase for about a week energetically. So this is our inner summer. And so this is when we see like that peak of estrogen and progesterone. So our sex hormones are at the highest. So what this means, so what this is doing to our biology and to our energy, is that this gives us this like immense peak. So now we're like ready, right? We've like slowly rebirthed back into the world, and now we're like ready to shine our light. So this gives us confidence, sociability, not to mention, of course, this like big old boost in our libido, which I'm sure we all experience. And this is also a time, so like thinking of like that full moon energy, right? So it's like really shining your light. This is a time that you want to like, you naturally find yourself wanting to connect to others. It's the best time to like engage in new hobbies, to host a big dinner party. And it's, you know, putting forth your manifestations that you were, you know, that you were dreaming and churning up in your rest into this tangible form. And it's so funny because like the more that I personally have aligned to my inner seasons, I'll like notice these habits that happen. So during my ovulation phase, I have this terrible habit of like reaching out to all of my girlfriends and be like, we need to catch up. Let's hop on a call. Like, how about 2 weeks? And then, you know, all of this like energy like comes forward. I'm like, okay, we got to create, we got to do all these things. And then, and we'll get into it in just a second, but you know, after, you know, the weeks pass, all of a sudden, you know, I lose that stamina because I'm no longer in that inner summer. And then I find myself canceling all the phone calls.
Oh my God. And that like makes the coffee so dates. Much sense. Yes. It's like, no, it's not that we don't want to be social. It's not that we don't like that friend anymore. It's, we're scheduling things at the wrong time.
Yes, exactly.
You need to schedule during your bleed so that when you're yes. ovulating, you have the energy to do it.
Yes, I love that. That's so true. And I'm like, I really like, for as long as I've been doing this work, I like still can't get it down. I'm like, okay, this is the time, you know? And yeah, it's just how it is. So that's our inner summer. So like really planning that time to like do all of your social occasions to, again, you know, put yourself into the light, because with those peak of estrogen and progesterone, with the peak of those sex hormones, it's energetically and physically allowing you to do that, to step forward in that way.
I love that. And it makes so much sense, because like summertime is usually when we have the most energy. We want to go outside and do the most activities. So the way that these seasons align with this different cycles, it makes so much sense. Spring is all about rebirth, you know, coming out from the cold winter, the leaves start to bloom again. So you're just like slowly coming out.
Yes.
Okay. So next we have the luteal phase.
Yes. So the luteal phase happens after ovulation. So this is that second half of your cycle. So usually I would say probably like day 17, day 18, and then leading up into your menstrual cycle. Even like day 19, I would say. And so during this time, our estrogen starts to decline. And then when conception does not occur, then progesterone starts to decline as well. So this is our inner fall. And it's so funny because I had such a resistance to inner fall, as I feel like so many women do, because, you know, that week leading up to our menstrual cycle, I feel like it's all hell, like hell just breaks loose, right? You know, you're experiencing all of these emotions of, you know, irritability, of just, you know,
sensitivity.
Yeah, sensitivity, all of these things really happen in that week leading up to your cycle. This time should be the time that you're winding down. During this time, the reason why we experience all of this like irritability and emotions and PMS is because we're not listening to our body's innate wisdom of, okay, this is time that you should start to prepare for hibernation, which is our inner winter or a menstrual bleed. And so, you know, taking the time here to begin to clear your schedule. So we're not going to be pushing ourselves during this time. We're not going to schedule all of our engagements that week before your menstrual cycle. This is the time that you want to clear your schedule. This is the time. And also like just preparing your environment, your little nook for rest. So like cleaning the house, food prepping, tying up any loose ends. The reason also why I really like this phase is because this is the truth speaker phase. And so, you know, how I touched on like with the PMS symptoms, I also hate calling it PMS, because what I feel like is happening is that we're not setting boundaries for ourselves during that time. So your boundaries are not being met, not only with others, but with yourself as well, like looking at what you are doing around this time. Are you setting those boundaries? Are you creating that space? And so when we experience those intense PMS symptoms, just take notice, because this could be a direct result of those boundaries not being met or not being able to retreat when you need to. And so I feel like that is the most important part. You know, there's like the inhibitions, like they lower, right? Like if you have a partner, you know, you just tell it like it is. You're like, you know, the whole month's floating through your follicular and your ovulation, like your spring and your summer, everything's good and everything's fine. And you won't really like look at this part, you know, these annoying habits that your partner's doing. But then comes the inner fall and all of that's brought to light. And you're like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. You're not holding my boundaries the way you're supposed to. And you're not, you know, giving me that space. And so doing like throat chakra work will be like super, super potent during that inner fall, during that week before your bleed.
Wow. So we're not outlashing at anyone and we're actually able to communicate clearly.
Yes, exactly. And then we have our inner winter, and this is our menstrual phase. So, you know, going to day one, so completing the cycle. So day one to day five or six. And so this is the most important phase. So, you know, when we look at nature, we see how the leaves change, right? The nature experiences winter in some form or another. And it's completely crucial for our health and for our vitality. This is the time that we need to let go of all of our external obligations. It is the time that we need to tend to our inner landscape, because, you know, we have that first half of the season where it's putting forth your energy and tending to others. So this is the time that, okay, we need to come back to ourselves. And it's such an amazing time to like dream and to reflect, to journal, and really just to rest. Because, you know, one of my teachers said, we're not meant to blossom all the time. And we see this, you know, with the trees that shed their leaves, and they do that in order to come back to their roots and preserve the energy for the colder months to come. So that is what our inner winter is allowing us to do. It's allowing us to shed physically our blood and energetically, so that we can really choose what's important enough to bring us back into our roots, and also what is needed to be let go. So like, what's worth not coming back into our roots? Like, what do we not want to bring back down? You know, where are our priorities? What do we need to hold on to, and what do we need to let go of? And so this is also, you know, the time that we notice that this physical realm is no longer important to us. It's like the rawest version of ourselves. It's, you know, it's like really like, who am I? What is this? And like, what is this life? How can I, you know, honor my body more? And it's this cycle of life. So what's so beautiful and what I wish every woman can understand is that our menstrual cycle is such a blessing. And I'm so exhausted of hearing that it's like this nuisance, because there's so much power in the rest. That is where the healing happens. That is where the transformation happens. And what's so incredible about a woman's biology is that we get to experience that in our bodies every single month, that we can experience death and rebirth. And a healer once said that men could not bleed, so they created war. And this is just how powerful our bleed is. And the thing with that too is like, when I first started getting into those work, it was like so much like women rise, women rise, women rise. And it's still that way, you know, because there's so much power in like women coming together. And actually it's been proven like in science that women come together, actually, like when you're in a group of supportive women, can actually heal your hormones, because it produces your body produces oxytocin, which is like the tendon befriend, and that actually combats cortisol. So literally like being around other women heals you. And it's so remarkable. And as I continue down this path, I also acknowledge that men need this care as well, and they don't have it. And that's like really the hardest part about all of this is like, you know, acknowledging like how much, you know, potency women have coming together, and then also sending our blessing to the men that don't have that in our culture, you know, and they don't experience having a menstrual cycle, like experiencing death and rebirth, so that they can actually take time to rest, or being around other supportive men that are going to uplift them. And so, and with, you know, everything that I shared, it's like, it's just as important that we hold space for the wounded masculine as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. A healed woman heals others, right? That's the beauty. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of a woman healing herself, is that she can even help heal that wounded masculine. And quickly, I want to go back, because everything that you just said is so, so important. How our menstrual phase cannot be looked at as an inconvenience anymore. When we know how to use that time and show appreciation for all that our body is going through and does for us, there's so much power in the rest. Nature is literally giving us this time and telling us that it's okay, that we can slow down and that we need to slow down, come back and evaluate our landscape. I love how you phrase that, because in that intentional slowness is where the transformation happens. But what about women who don't experience a bleed or are going through menopause?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I actually work with women who are going through that phase of their life. So if you're not currently bleeding, the best way to align your cycles with nature and still experience that those inner seasons is through the phases of the moon. So, you know, as women, we're you know, ultimately connected to that lunar energy, and in Ayurveda, that Brahmaha energy, it's that, you know, that yin nourishing energy, it's that feminine energy. And so when we align ourselves to the moon, this naturally brings us into balance. And the thing too, like, I want to be clear as well for women who are listening out there that have even had like a full hysterectomy, you still have that womb energy, regardless if you're bleeding or not. You still have that connection with nature, with the moon, with that divine feminine. And so we can look at the phases of the moon to help bring us back into that divine feminine energy. So when we see the qualities of the phases of the moon too, it all makes sense. So the first being, you know, that full moon, it's that brightness, that vibrancy. So that's our inner summer. It's like shining light. It's, you know, there's nothing hiding. Everything is forward. And so that will be, if you're not bleeding, that will be your inner summer, will be that full moon. And then on the complete opposite side, we have the new moon. And so that is our inner winter or our menstrual phase. So if you're not bleeding, again, you can look to see where the phases of the moon are. And if you're in the new moon, that's the time that you can take that rest. So still experiencing the those inner winter energetics. And then from that, so let's say we're moving from the new moon back up into the full moon, that is the waxing moon. So that is our inner spring. So that's that rebirth phase that I had mentioned. And then from the full moon into the new moon, that is our waning moon. And so that's going to be our inner fall, or, you know, and so aligning to the energetics of that inner fall during that time. And in Ayurveda too, to bring our cycles into balance, they actually suggest working with the phases of the moon to, you know, bring us back into harmony with our bodies.
Wow. How incredible is that? So whether you're bleeding, in menopause, had a full hysterectomy, or you've just been out of touch with your cycle and your inner feminine for a long time, that you can bring yourself into better alignment by following the cycles of the moon. And that also explains why different cultures see a woman's period as a gift from the moon. Yeah. I mean, how incredible is that?
Yeah, it's amazing. So, I mean, it's all right there, right? Like, we are connected to it all. So, you know, if you don't know where you, even if you don't even know where you are in your cycle, just start to look at the phases of the moon. That's going to right there, drop you into the connection of that lunar energy.
Wow. I think that's going to be so, so helpful for so many women. And I also think a lot of us are wondering now at this point, you know, in a world that is so busy, that runs on this masculine 24-hour clock, how can us women create more of this balance for ourselves during our period?
Yes, Ayurvedically speaking. So again, the menstrual phase being that inner winter, it's that time to truly rest. So this is where, again, the Western concept of like diet culture and exercise culture is completely contradictory to what's actually supportive for women and a woman's body. So during your menstrual cycle, you should be exercise-wise, it should be very limited. So doing only like light walks, gentle yoga, or even just complete rest, because this is the time that our bodies are naturally detoxifying. And so taking that time, you know, we go, go, go. We're so much in like a summer, spring energy 100% of the time that it's, you know, it's gifting ourselves that time that, you know, we have this excuse to not feel bad about just resting. Yeah. Because resting is productivity. And I really want to get that out there too, because, you know, we've deemed rest as like being lazy or non-productive, but it's productive. It's allowing us to heal our bodies. And mm-hmm. so again, and now I love my menstrual phase, because like, for me, I'm like, oh, I don't got to do anything. Yes. I like sleep in, I like watch Outlander. You
know? That rest without guilt. We
yes,
need
it's the
to
rest.
Make that. Yes. Rest without guilt.
Yes. Also, more Ayurvedically speaking, one of the biggest things that we can do, for our menstrual cycle health is to not block that apana vayu, so that downward energy flow. And so what that means is no tampons and also no cups, because I know cups are a more popular alternative to tampons, but in the lens of Ayurveda, that's still blocking that natural downward energy flow. So instead, swapping those tampons and the menstrual cups for panties or pads. And this can be, and for women, you know, this can be quite hesitant, especially if you're used to using tampons and cups. But I promise you, the second that you make that change, it will heal a lot of like your menstrual symptoms too, especially like if you are dealing with dysmenorrhea or really intense menstrual cramps. Switching to panties is one of the best things that you can do. And this also too, and this, you know, we hear contradictory things on this as well, but within Ayurveda, practicing celibacy is actually very important too during our bleed, because again, we're honoring that downward energy flow.
Wow. Yeah, you bring up such an interesting point because thinking back on my cycle, you know, I have a very pitta type cycle, or I used to have a very high pitta cycle, really intense cramps. And I remember every time I would use a tampon, my body would cramp up so much more. And I remember every time I would pull the tampon out or change my tampon, this like sense of relief that my body could actually relax. So that just connected some dots for me right there. Thank you for mentioning that. And also, I think it is really important to talk about how we do not want to disrupt this downward flow of energy, this apana vayu. This apana vayu, it's responsible for all downward motion. So all of our elimination, including our menstruation. That's even why traditional yoga texts, they say not to do any upside down postures, any inversions during your menstrual period.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And also during this time, our digestive fire or Agni is very weak. So making sure that you're avoiding the raw foods, the salads, the smoothies, and you're eating warm and easily digestible foods. Heavily spiced, meaning like lots of ginger, cinnamon, black pipali, you know, things like that to really help to support that digestive fire, that Agni. And then keeping feet warm. And so this is pretty much all the time anyways. It's just like a great protocol for women and for uterine health. And this is seen, you know, in Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, as well as in Mayan culture too. We really like to focus on keeping the feet warm. And this is because they say that cold feet equal a cold uterus. And so a lot of, you know, the symptoms that we experience during our menstrual cycle can be due to stagnation in the uterus. And so making sure that we're keeping things warm, even drinking like warm ginger tea is really beneficial during this time. Mm-hmm. And then let's see if there's anything else. And then I would say also just, you know, taking time for that reflection, like I've mentioned before. So the veil is literally the thinnest between the physical and the spiritual during this time. So really like getting your journal out, reflecting, doing like introspective work, and yeah, just like adopting that more into some rituals for your menstrual phase. Some other like kind of kooky ones that are in like the basic, like the old Rigvedas and the old Ayurvedic texts say some funny things, which are, you know, don't trim your hair or your nails during this time, which I thought was really interesting. Yeah. And they say it's because, you know, we hold a lot of energy in our hair and our nails. And so, you know, because we're kind of like in this more like limbo of the physical and the spiritual, that we don't want to disturb that. And so this is, again, I don't say that to my clients because they might give me a weird look, but that is something that ancient texts do mention.
So interesting, you know, not to interrupt any of the energy flow. Don't cut anything off.
Mm-hmm.
It's on your body for a reason. Just leave it there.
Yes.
Wow. Absolutely. And then I guess after your menstrual phase, when you're in your follicular, you'll have more clarity as to whether or not you need those parts that you wanted to cut off previously. I mean,
yeah. Oh, I love that.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So you brought up a good point that digestion is at its weakest when we're on our bleed. So how does that work? Because that's a very fine line to walk on when it comes to our cravings and honoring our digestion. So how can we balance that?
Yeah, so this is such a great question. So speaking on that in terms of the Western view, the more that we actually get our hormones imbalanced, again, one of the best ways aligning to our inner seasons, it will actually help to reduce these intense cravings that we have, especially leading up to our menstrual cycle. And the reason why we crave like those carbs and those sugars, like all the chocolates, is because dopamine. So first off, when our sex hormones decrease, so do our dopamine and serotonin levels. And so for those who don't know, 95% of serotonin is released from our gut. So what we're doing is when, you know, our hormones are out of balance, when we're running on too much cortisol, there's a higher dip or a higher decline in our sex hormones. So now, you know, we're experiencing this more severe drop in our dopamine and serotonin levels. So that is why we go to these cravings, because sugar and carbs is one of the quickest ways that we can release dopamine and serotonin. You know, like, I mean, imagine, you know, you have this like delicious, yummy, fluffy chocolate cake with chocolate icing. Like, I swear, sometimes that's better than sex. And it's because of that serotonin that's released from our guts. So what you'll find is that when you start to normalize your hormones, when you start to balance your hormones, there's not going to be such an intense plummet of that dopamine and serotonin. So you're not going to find the need to like run for the cupboard to get all of like the bread and the chocolate.
Wow. That really does go back to what you said in part one, how our period is a reflection of how we treated our body for that entire month. So if we're going through the month extremely stressed, entirely out of tune with what our body needs at each phase during the month, then we're likely increasing our chances of having those extreme cravings that aren't necessarily beneficial to us. And, you know, I can speak on that firsthand because, my gosh, I mean, I was the man. I was running my body to the point of burnout day in and day out. Like, I was addicted to working in a previous life, and I would push myself to those limits. And then when my period would come, there was absolutely no control over what was going into my mouth. And it created such an unhealthy relationship for me with my food and this whole binging and then feeling guilty about it afterwards. And it was just so, so, so out of balance. And, you know, we live in this time where intuitive eating is becoming more and more talked about. But something that I really liked, one of my teachers, something my teacher said in the very beginning of my studies is that we can build a house and install an AC unit. That part is easy. But we cannot expect the AC unit to know how to cool our house down before we set the system. But once we set the system, aka the more we tune into our body and balance our system, balance our digestion and our hormones,
Ooh, I love that.
More we can actually optimize on this intuitive eating, and we can fuel our body in yummy, delicious ways with food that also loves us back.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, I mean, that is a good point, because like dark chocolate, you know, magnesium, they have done studies where that helps to like reduce menstrual cramps. But I'm talking about, you know, like the gluttonous things, you know, like the chocolate cupcakes and the cakes. And, you know, if you're having a piece, and this is actually something that I recommended to one of my clients too, because she was experiencing some severe cravings, is to just take a little bit of dark chocolate and have that, like, you know, after dinner when she has a craving, and that helped to, you know, level it a bit. And the thing too, I really wanted to share here is that with all of this being said, it's almost equally as important that we allow ourselves grace, right? We're not these robots where we have to follow every single thing. And I'd like to reiterate that too with my clients, is that, you know, okay, you got 1 month where you like went into the cabinet and you like ate a whole French bread loaf. So what? You know, just don't make it a habit where we're doing that every month, but, you know, allowing yourself some grace that, you know, like, okay, you know, this happened, and, you know, I'm still remaining, you know, grace in my body, and still remaining, you know, giving myself love in my body. And this just happened. And I think that's also one of the most important things too, because if we're get, you know, this is kind of coming back to a masculine mindset of like, okay, I got to do all these right things for my menstrual health. And then all of a sudden it becomes this like forced masculine energy again. And we don't want that. You know, the feminine energy is all about softness. It's all about fluidity and grace. And so as you start to, you know, start to embody more of this way of like our womb wisdom, and within these inner seasons, just remember that it's all about like the flow and the grace that you're giving yourself throughout this journey.
That's such great advice. You know, when I was telling my sister about these inner seasons, her response was, oh, great. Now I have more things I need to think about and worry about when it comes to my health. And I was like, no, that's not the point. It's not about doing more. It's about softening and surrendering to that natural flow. Mm-hmm. And I always like to say that Ayurveda isn't shouldn't be looked at as like rules to follow. Ayurveda should be seen as an elevated sense of awareness around your health.
Absolutely. And you can even just tie that into, again, it's like, you know, every month we're literally stepping into a new version of ourselves. So, you know, if something happens like this month, you know that you have a whole cycle next month that you get to experience again and get to relive in your body again, experience, you know, the cycles of life.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is such a refreshing and beautiful way to look at women's health and how we can take care of ourselves. Okay, Malia, before I ask a final question to wrap us up here, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I just say, you know, with all of this that we have talked about and shared, I just want to say that there is just so much power here. And I'm hoping that whoever listens to this podcast, that they can share this, you know, with the women in their community, with, you know, if their mothers, to share this with their daughters or their granddaughters, because again, like I said, there's so much power here that's just waiting to be awakened. And imagine if we were taught this, you know, at a young age, when we were, before we even get to our menarche, before we even experience our first bleed, just how much of a blessing it is to be in a woman's body and all the power that it holds. Yeah. And I really feel that it's time for women to become empowered in their health. And this is one of the best ways that we can do so, is to come back into our womb wisdom. And like I had shared earlier, it's, you know, I feel deeply that when women heal, the rest of the world heals. And I would just hope, you know, that we can share this with everyone, with all of the women in our communities.
Yeah. I say so often here that, I mean, I think Ayurveda can change the world. You know, it really can, because it really does start with one person. It starts with one person to take what they learned and share it with a friend. And then that friend goes and shares it with their friends. And then it just becomes this endless ripple of wisdom. And that is how change happens. Mm. And God, like, if we change that narrative of what a woman's bleed means from childhood, it would change the whole narrative. Like, our entire world would be different. Mm. And there's so much hope. There's so much possibility. Mm. And the work that you're doing is so incredible. It's so impactful. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Final question to wrap us up. What is one thing that someone listening to this episode can start doing today to begin to tap more into that feminine energy, begin to tap into that womb wisdom, and begin to connect more with their menstrual health and their inner seasons?
Oh, wow. Oh, there's like so many things.
What's the first one that comes to mind? What would you do? The
first
one thing that
you know, one thing that I could say that you can start doing every morning, and it's so simple, is literally the moment that you wake up, place your hand, you can like place a hand on your heart and your womb to connect with your body. So to like take a deep breath and be like, okay, I'm here. I trust you. What do you have to say? And maybe you don't hear anything. And maybe you feel like, okay, this is really weird that I'm doing this, but just starting that off of just like, okay, acknowledging like, I'm here, I'm ready to listen, and just see what opens up and see what answers arrive. And I think just starting from that place here of like, okay, this is my body. I think that's one of the simplest ways that we can start to further deepen our practice into coming back into our womb and our body's wisdom.
I love that. It's simple. It's practical. Just first thing when you wake up, mm-hmm. you don't even need to get out of bed. Just get a hand on your body mm-hmm. and one on your heart, and be in that moment of presence and acknowledgement.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank you, Malia, for this conversation together. I mean, I can't wrap my head around the amount of wisdom that you have shared with us today. I have learned so much from you, so I'm sure so many people listening are going to walk away from these two conversations with such new perspective and insight. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. This was so amazing. I feel like this whole conversation, I just had full body chills the entire time.
Same.
And I feel like this conversation with you, it could go on for hours and hours and hours.
Hours. I know. Maybe we'll do a part three soon.
Yes, I'd love that.
What a conversation. Be sure to send these two episodes to women that you love in your life. And if you're interested in booking a consultation with Malia or learning more about her service offerings, I linked all of her information in the show description. In the meantime, if you're wanting to dive deeper into your womb wisdom, Malia is offering Womb Portal. This is a 4-week online journey that weaves Ayurvedic and esoteric teachings to ignite the wisdom of your womb. This is a journey through each phase of the monthly cycle and full integration of the internal seasons. It also includes invocations of different goddesses, learning how to align to cycle wisdom, and beautifully embodying each phase through intentional and sacred embodiment practices. It's going to be happening this spring in 2024, so all of that information can also be found below. Thank you all so much for tuning in, for being here, and for sharing Ayurveda's beautiful ancient wisdom with me. Next week, I will be here to help you gear up your spice pantry for the springtime. So until then, I will talk to you next Tuesday.